Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Kuf Yud Ches. We are towards the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Talked a little about Harama yesterday. Subterfuge, legal deception in Halacha. Under certain circumstances, under certain occasions, it's fine. But really, we find ourselves in the larger context of the 16th Perek of Shabbos, where your house is on fire. And what can you take out of the house? So the first Mishnah told us that you could take out Sifrei Kodesh, and that engendered a long discussion in the Gemara regarding taking out the Sifrei Kodesh, including not the Justice Farm, but also the Tikkun Sefer as well. Anything that the Sefer Torah is placed in, the mantle of the Sefer Torah. And then yesterday we started the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and the Mishnah talked about taking out Gimel Seudas, taking out three meals. Shabbos, we know there's a mitzvah of eating three meals on Shabbos, which is going to be today's daf. Today's daf is really dedicated to the topic of eating the three meals of Shabbos. So because there's this mitzvah of Shalosh Seudos, so therefore you can go into your house and you could take out three meals. The Gemara yesterday asked the obvious question. We're talking about taking out food, meaning it's food. It's not muktza. It's not, what's the issue today? Sorry. It'll come back. It's back. So what's the issue with taking out food? It's just food. So to that, the Gemara's answer is Adam Bo Amamono, because people get a little bit crazy when it comes to their money. And what's going to happen is if he's running in and out of his house, which is burning on Shabbos, and he's taking out one more piece of food and one more piece of food, ultimately what's going to happen is he's going to have enough of watching his house go out in smoke, and he's going to put out the fire, which would be a malacha. So therefore, what the Chachamim did is they capped the amount of food that he could take out of his house, and that would be Gimel Seudos. Now, in the Mishnah, there was Machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi. The Tanakhama says you could take out three meals, but that's only if your house is burning on Friday night. So in other words, your house catches fire on Friday night, so now you need tonight's meal, and tomorrow you need two more meals. So then you're allowed to take out three meals. But if your house was burning, let's say, Shabbos morning, so then you're only allowed to take out two meals because you already had your Friday night meal. And if your house is burning Shabbos afternoon, so then you can only take out one meal because that's all you have left. Good. That's the position of the Tanakhama. Rav Yossi says, no, a person can always take out three meals irrespective of when exactly the fire breaks out. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. And obviously this will lead us to the discussion which we're about to start in a couple of minutes regarding the mitzvah of Gimel Seudos. In the meantime, however, we do have a little bit of Gemara that we have that we need to make up from yesterday's daf, Tana Rabbanan. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. It's about five lines before the lines get wide. Tana Rabbanan Hitzel Pas Nekia Ein Matzel Pas Hadra'a. If you went into your house and let's say you got bread, good bread, real good quality bread, so then you say to yourself, look, I have some other bread in the house. It's not the best stuff. It's poor quality. You can't go back into your house, meaning once you have good bread, you're covered. However, pasta draw, matzah, pasta kia. But if what you saved out of the house was pasta draw, the inferior quality bread, and then you say to yourself, you know, I got pasta kia in my house. Oh, so then you're allowed to go back in, and you're allowed to get past Nikia. Matzil mi Yom Kippur from the Shabbos. You could save from Yom Kippur to Shabbos because you know you're going to be eating on Shabbos. Again, we're talking about where Shabbos Yom Kippur are contiguous with one another. Yom Kippur's here, in this case, is falling out on a Friday. So your house is catching fire on Yom Kippur. You know you're going to need for Shabbos. So then you can save out food for, take out food for Shabbos. Avalomi Shabbos Yom Kippur, but you can't take out food from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. Meaning if Yom Kippur falls out on a Sunday, so then no, you don't have the right to go and save in addition to Shabbos, also for Yom Kippur as well. Should go without saying, although we're going to say it, that Shabbos Yontif, I can't go into my house and save from Shabbos to Yontif. Lomi Shabbos for Shabbos Abba. And certainly it goes without saying that, let's say, look, I need three meals for this Shabbos, but I'm also going to need three meals for next Shabbos. So maybe I'll save six meals altogether. That, again, goes without saying that you cannot do. Shachach Pas Betanur V'kiddush Alav Hayom. Gemara quotes another brisa. It's a continuation, meaning it's a Tosefta. It's a Hemshech of the previous Tosefta. So the Tosefta discusses, what if you left the bread in the oven going into Shabbos? Bread's already cooked, so let's not have Bishul become part of the whole equation, part of the discussion. The bread is already cooked. It's just a question now of taking it off the oven wall. Shachach Pas Betanur V'kiddush Alav Hayom. Atzil Mazon Gibel Seudos. So you can take the bread off the oven wall, but only enough for Gimel Seudos. And then what you could tell other people is, let's say there's more bread than just Gimel Seudos. So you could tell other people and say, look, I got bread stuck on my oven wall, and I'm only limited to take bread for Gimel Seudos. You could take for yourselves as well. Now, when you do Rediyas HaPas, not the first time we're discussing Rediyas HaPas, the removal of the bread from the oven wall, apparently it was a skill. Not a malacha, but a skill. The Gemara elsewhere calls it a chachma. And by elsewhere, I think I mean right over here. Yes. So when you take it off, you cannot use the traditional mardeh. Mardeh is some sort of spatula that was used to take off the bread. So you have to. You can't do it in the normal fashion. Elabasakim, you should use a knife, which apparently was an unusual way of the removal of the bread off the oven wall. The hatan de berav yishma lo sasa kamalacha yaset kia shofar rediyah sapashi chachma vina malacha, blowing shofar rediyah sapas, examples of activities on Shabbos which are not a malacha, they're chachma, but they're not a malacha. So the Gemara was just simply wondering, if it's not a malacha, so then why do I have to do it in an unusual manner? Why not just do rediyah sapas with the normal Marda? And the Gemara's answer is Kamadev Shalashanui Mishaninan. Okay, yes, you're right, but still, even though it's not an Issa Daraisa, but it's still a Chachma, it's still something which is not, should not be done on Shabbos. So if you're saving for yourself three meals, so still do it in an unusual way. Amar Chisalolam Yashkam Adam Lotzah Shabbos Shinemar. Person should wake up early on Friday. Friday morning. Wake up early to get ready for Shabbos. Last week's Parsha. So the Torah says in the collection of the man is that you should do achan, you should do preparation on Friday for Shabbos. And so as much preparation as you can. So you wake up early in the morning, Friday morning, in order to prepare for Shabbos. La'altar. And the Gemara's understanding is Vayabi Yom HaShishi means the moment Yom HaShishi comes. Now, I guess you could say it's already Thursday night, you should be preparing. I know a lot of people cook Thursday night. But I guess the idea of Yom HaShishi means it's not Thursday night, but rather Friday morning. Wake up early Friday morning to start preparing. I'm Rabbi Abba B'Shabbos Chayav Adam Mitzvah Shtei Kikaros. The Gemara here now speaks to the mitzvah of Lacha Mishnah. We know that on Shabbos there's a mitzvah to have not one, but two loaves of bread for each of the meals. Dichsiv lechem mishnah. Zeich leman reminds us of the man, which obviously we had a double portion that came, so therefore we have the mitzvah of lechem mishnah. Lechatchila, one should have lechem mishnah for every meal on Shabbos. Friday night, Shabbos luncheon, Chal Shudas as well. Lechatchila, one should have the double portion. Rabbi Flug just spoke about lechem mishnah two, three Shabbos ago. Okay. Amrav Ashi Chazila Rav Kahana Denakatati Uvatzechada. So Rav Ashi says that I saw Rav Kahana, so he would take two, but Uvatzechada would only break one of the two, meaning the two was Zeich Laman. But in terms of how much did he actually need to eat, he only needed to eat one loaf of bread, so he only broke one. Amar Liktuksiv. Now it says Liktu in the plural. So Rabbi Zera Avabatzai Kula Sheryusa, and Rabbi Zera, when he would break, so he would break Akula Sheryusa. Now, what does that mean? So if you take a look at Rashi, I'll read Rashi inside. Batzal Akula Sheryusa, Prusa Gedola, Vidailo Bala Osa Suuda. He took off a big piece, explains Rashi. It was good enough for that entire meal, L'chavet Shabbos. V'nir kemechavet Suuda Shabbos Litzchazik V'lachol Harbei. Meaning, even though it was a bigger piece than he normally took, nevertheless, it was Shabbos, and therefore, on Shabbos, you're entitled to eat a little bit more than what you normally would. So, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Ravina says to Ravashi, Vahamechze Karaf Tanusa. From a Mido standpoint, that doesn't seem good. Meaning, I understand you're eating a lot more than you normally would, but that is gluttonous. And just from a Mida standpoint, a person shouldn't look like a glutton. Okay, good. In other words, if I ate like that every day, then you're right. That would be gluttonous. But every day I do not eat like that. Sunday through Friday I eat moderation. I do not eat like a glutton. Shabbos I eat extra. Everyone understands I'm doing the Lechava Shabbos and I'm not doing it because I am a glutton. I've mentioned this before, just quickly I'll go over this. The Rashi says that when the Gemara here describes the practice of Rabbi Zera, where Rabbi Zera would break a Kula Shiryusa, so according to Rashi, that meant that he broke an extraordinarily large piece for himself, But it sounds like from Rashi that he would only break one of the loaves of bread, not both loaves of bread. The Rashba is of the opinion in our Gemara that when you break not one loaf of bread, but when it's, the Gemara says kula shiryusa, it means you break both loaves of bread. So Rabbi Flu quoted, I like this, he quoted the Gra. The Gra says, the Gra followed this practice. In other words, when he made motzi on Shabbos, so he would cut not through one loaf of bread, but he would cut through both loaves of bread. And Rabbi Flu quoted the Gra. The Gra said that that is a kiyum in a Zohar. What does the Zohar say? The Zohar says that on Shabbos you should have 12 loaves of bread, zecher, the shulchan and the lechem apanim. Lechem apanim, we know, 12 loaves of bread that were baked and eaten on Shabbos by the Mishmar Hayotzi and the Mishmar Nechnas, right, the various Mishmaros of the Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. So to remind ourselves of the lechem apanim, so we should have 12 loaves of bread. Now that's what the Zohar says. Now we don't have 12 loaves of bread, meaning we have two per meal. So where do you get the 12 loaves of bread? So the Gra says that if what you do is you follow this practice of cutting both loaves of challah, so then what you're going to end up having is that every meal, you're going to have to start with two, you're cutting both of them in half, so then that means you're going to end up with four. You do that for three meals, and four times three is 12, you're going to end up with 12 quote-unquote loaves of bread. That's how the Gra would say we follow the practice of the Zohar. Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Yasaki Mikalu Rifta de Iruva Shara Ilave. So when they get the loaf of bread of the Eruv, meaning that for an Eruv, specifically an Eruv Chatzeres, has to be made up of bread. So they would eat the Eruv Chatzeres at the end of Shabbos, and he would make sure to break the Eruv Chatzeres, meaning he would make a motzi on the Eruv Chatzeres. Meaning, this is a more chashav piece of bread. It's a bread that we did a mitzvah on already. We did the mitzvah of Erev Chatzeros. So now we get another opportunity to do another mitzvah on this loaf of bread. So therefore we eat it. Our Erev Chatzeros is matzah that's in the shul office. So we don't have that opportunity. But the minig is that when you make Erev Tavshilin, so same story. In other words, on Shabbos afternoon, so you should eat the Erev Tavshilin. You don't have to eat the Erev Tavshilin. It still works even if you don't eat it. But in other words, once you did one mitzvah with the Erev Tavshilin, so the minig is to eat the Erev Tavshilin at the end of Shabbos. Ketza Nafla Deleika, Tana Rabbanan. And here we go. We're starting today's daf, and we're also starting the whole discussion of Gimel Seudos. So on Shabbos, there's going to be a mitzvah of Gimel Seudos. Where does it come from? So I'll say it comes from our Mishnah, but our Mishnah only assumes that we knew this. Where in the Torah does it describe that on Shabbos you have to have Gimel Seudos? In the good old days, just before we start with the Gemara, you should just know, common practice back then, here in America, our society dictates that we have three meals a day. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. Right? It's menagamakom, meaning it's not, there's no rules in terms of how many meals you're supposed to eat a day. Just happens to be that sociologically we have three meals a day. In the good old days they had two meals a day, and that was it. Now, is this true by the entire world? I don't know, you speak to somebody who knows these things. But in other words, but our menag was that we only had two meals a day. We had a late breakfast and an early dinner. Okay, that was our eating practices of the days gone by. I do believe there was snacking in between, but that's obviously something which I can't reference anything to describe. But in other words, but two meals a day was the common practice back in the good old days. So on Shabbos, when there's a description of having Gimel Seudos for Shabbos, so that means that on Shabbos, obviously, being that it's Shabbos, so you eat a little bit more than you normally would during the week. During the week, you'd have two meals per day on Shabbos, so you make sure to have three meals a day. But again, that doesn't really discuss the basic question of where does that come from. Tana Rabbanan, Kama Seudos Chayav Adam La'echol B'Shabbos. How many meals is a man obligated to eat on Shabbos? I said men, by the way. Same halacha is true by women as well. Shalosh. So the Tana Kama is of the opinion that you are required to have three meals on Shabbos. Rabbi Chitka Omer Arba. So there's an opinion of Rabbi Chitka. He's a Tana. I don't know where else his name comes up in Shas, meaning it's an unusual Tana. It's a rare Tana, Rabbi Chitka. I didn't do a search, but if he can think of another place where his name comes up in Shas. So he says that there are not three meals on Shabbos, but rather four meals on Shabbos. Rav Yochanan says they both got it from the same pasuk. So the pasuk again in last week's parsha. Last week's parsha, of course, is the source for all this because we know that we receive the mon daily, and on Shabbos, on Friday, we received a double portion. So all the mitzvahs of how much to eat on any given Shabbos is based on the parsha of the mon. The pasuk says ichlu hayom. That's one. Ki Shabbos hayom. That's two. Ki Shabbos hayom laHashem hayom lo simtzu basadeh, and that's three. Three times in the pasuk it says the words hayom, so that's an indication that you should be having three meals for Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Chitka savar hani tlasa hayom levar meorta. Rabbi Chitka says, yeah, right from there, meaning that hayom tells us that you're supposed to have three meals. When? Three meals during the daytime, meaning, but levar meorta. That's already excluding the night. And I guess part of his point would be is that the word that's used to expound is hayom. And as we just got done describing all of 10 lines ago, the word hayom means daytime. So three meals during the daytime and also a meal at night as well. Rabbanan Tzavri Bahadid Deorta and Rabbanan Tzavri Chachamim say no. Hayom is a more general term describing all of Shabbos, the totality of Shabbos, and you're supposed to be eating three meals over the totality of Shabbos. One Friday night, and two during the day. Tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Nafla Deleika B'Leilei Shabbos, Matzil and Mazon Gimel Se'udos. And so now, what we're going to do, as we traditionally do, is see which one of them fit into the Mishnahs and the Brises better. So first we're going to quote our Mishnah. Our Mishnah certainly sounds much more like the Chachamim than Rav Chitka. Rav Chitka says a total of four meals, and the Chachamim say a total of three meals. So let's take a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says the fire breaks out in your house on Friday night. How many meals can you save? Three. Matzil mazon gimel seudos. My lav de lo achel. Now, presumably, I'm saving three because I need one tonight and two tomorrow, like the Tana Kama. The Gemara says lo da'achel shachris. I'm sorry, lo da'achel. So the Gemara says, no, what the Mishnah could be describing is the fire broke out on Friday night after you ate. And so therefore you already had one Seuda, and now, according to Rav Chitka, I need three more for tomorrow. And that's why on Friday night, if the fire breaks out Friday night, I'm entitled to take three meals. We're going to do this two more times. Shachris, Matzil Mazon, Shtei Seudos. If the fire breaks out, Shabbos morning, I can now go ahead and save two meals. So, my love, de lo acha. Presumably, the Mishnah is talking about where you haven't eaten yet. Lo de acha. And the Gemara says, no. We're talking about a case there where you already ate. So, therefore, you already had your Friday night meal. You already had your Shabbos morning meal. And Rav Chitka would tell you, you need two more meals. Be mincha, Matzil Mazon, Seuda Achas. We'll do this one more time. In mincha, the fire breaks out in the afternoon. So, you have now Seuda Achas. You take out one meal. So, my love de lo achal. Now, presumably, it's talking about where you were lo achal, where you didn't eat lo de achal. So, the Gemara says, no, we're talking about where you already ate. You already ate your third meal. And now you got to take out one more because, according to Rav Chitka, you need a fourth meal. So the Gemara was able to squeeze Rav Chitka into our Mishnah. It's not the simple Pshat in our Mishnah, but in defense of Rav Chitka, he can conform to our Mishnah.
Have that four meal when? Is
not Malka? No. No. On Shabbos. On Shabbos. You make an equitable distribution of the day. Of Shabbos day, so one in the morning, one lunch, and one late evening, early evening. Right. It does sound like from our Gemara, by the way. If I could, let's first finish the thread, and then I'll comment. V'hamadiktani sefer Rabbi Yosi Amar lo lamatzil mazon gimel seudos. Now let's go on in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah then quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, and Rabbi Yosi says that you could always save three meals, irrespective of when the fire breaks out. It sounds like when the Tana Kama is talking about three, he meant a total of three. Not three in addition to a meal that you already ate, but meaning the totality of what you're going to be eating on Shabbos is three. Okay, so the Gemara concedes. We try to fit Rabbi Chitka in our Mishnah, and Rabbi Chitka does not fit into our Mishnah. It's not the end of the world for Rav Chitka, meaning he's a Tana. He can argue with our Mishnah. All we were trying to do was just fit him into our Mishnah. He doesn't fit into our Mishnah. And now I'll make the comment. It sounds like from our Gemara that that Shal Shittas has to be eaten in the afternoon. Meaning what you could have said is, look, there's a mitzvah to eat three meals on Shabbos. Eat the three meals whenever you want. Meaning, I know it sounds strange, but let's say you'll have two meals on Friday night and one meal during Shabbos day. Doesn't sound that way from our Gemara. Meaning when you, a simple reading of our Gemara would indicate that you have one meal a night, one meal in the morning, Shabbos morning, and one meal Shabbos afternoon. My observation? No. Tosus's observation. Take a look at the top Tosus on the Amud. Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. B'mincha Matzil Matzun Studa Achas Mikan Mashma Dizman Achila Shlishis B'Shabbos Yimin HaMincha Lamala. It sounds like from our Gemara, a simple reading of our Gemara, is that the requirement to have that third meal on Shabbos is specifically Shabbos afternoon, Min HaMincha Ulamala. Sometime in the afternoon. Apparently there was a minhag back in the times of Tosfos, which he's obviously not excited about, where they would have basically a long morning meal. And what they would do is they would divide that meal in half. In other words, so they would have part one of the morning meal, bench, little break, and then they would come back and have part two of the meal. Kind of like what we do on Shavuos. For those who have both milchik and fleishik. But in other words, but that used to be a minhag, which Tosfos obviously over here is not pleased with, because from our Gemara, the simple reading of our Gemara is that they're supposed to be spaced out one evening, one afternoon, I'm sorry, one morning, and one afternoon. Okay. The there's other issues as well in this minhag that Tosfos doesn't like, a bracha sheina tzricha. In other words, if you're taking one meal and you're basically dividing it into two for the sole reason of, I got to have three meals, so then you're making all these brachas that are really unnecessary. You're benching, you're making a new brachas amotzi. Tosfos discusses that as well. See Tosfos for a discussion. He clearly does not like that minhag, and he clearly is of the position that you need to space them out. Let's go back to the Gemara. V'hatidnan. Okay, so again, we're now in the middle of a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Chitka. How many meals is a person supposed to have on Shabbos? According to the Tanakhama, three. Total of three. According to Rabbi Chitka, total of four. We learn together now a Mishnah in Peah. The Mishnah in Peah, you get towards the end of Peah, the Mishnahs over there talk about how to take care of the poor. Now, obviously, the mitzvah of Peah itself is the purpose of that mitzvah is to take care of the poor, but obviously, that's only if you have a field. But there's general needs of taking care of the poor. And the Mishnayos over there in Peah describe that. They had in the times of the Mishnah, in the times of the Gemara, Ad Hayom Hazeh, they had soup kitchens. In other words, and what basically, if you were extraordinarily poor, so you would go to the soup kitchen. And they not only had soup kitchens, but they also had food stamps, right? Distribution, basically, of money so that people can go out and buy food. So these are the various social services that they had for the poor people. The Mishnah in Peah describes it. V'hadidnan mishi yesh lo mazon shei seudos lo yitol min hatamchui. If a person has already two meals worth of food, so in other words, he is not extraordinarily poor, so therefore he cannot go to the tamchui, he can't go to the soup kitchen. The tamchui, right, take a look at Rashi, he describes it. Ka'ara gedolahi, the tamchui Rashi describes as being this big plate, meaning that's the literal definition of the word tamchui. The govim ba gabai, maichal mi balei batim, and what the gabai would do, the collectors would do, is they would go around the balei batim and they would collect actual food. Umechalkim laniyim beisudos liyom. And Rashi goes on to describe him what they would do with this actual food. It's not food stamps, it's food. What they would actually do is they would distribute it to the poor, miyom liyom, and this was daily apportioning for the poor, and this was for the extraordinary poor who didn't even have two meals. So they would collect from the tamchui, they were entitled to collect from the tamchui. Marzan arba esrei lo yitzal min hakupa. Now if you have a week's worth of food, so you can't go to the kupa. The kupa describes Rashi, it's basically food stamps. Kupa maosein, that's not food stamps, it's actual money. But same basic idea. Maosein leparnas yaniyam b'nei tovim dezilu milsa de tamchui umischalkim erev Shabbos erev Shabbos. So for these people, now Rashi describes them as b'nei tovim, meaning they're poor and they have an excellent reputation. meaning they are not stealing from from the social services that are provided. So therefore, and it's for them, it's obviously better not to have a daily ration, but to have enough money so that they can buy food for the week. So they can go to the kupa. If you're a poor person who has a week's worth of food, so then you can't go to the kupa, and you can't collect money from the kupa. It's only for those people who do not have a week's worth of food. Okay? That's the Mishnah and Peah. Okay. And now the Gemara is commenting from the Mishnah and Peah, and observing from the Mishnah and Peah, hey, how many meals does he have for the week? He has 14 meals for the week. How does that work with Shabbos? Meaning, obviously, he's a Shomer Shabbos, and if he's a Shomer Shabbos, he's going to be eating three meals on Shabbos, so the magic number shouldn't be 14 for the total week. The magic number should be 15 for the week. So, money lo rabbanav lo rabbi chitka. So, this Mishnah and Peah doesn't seem to be conforming to neither the Tanakama nor Rabbi Chitka.
Why wouldn't the second meal on Friday?
Okay, I'm with you. The Gemara's with you. Just you're right, but just give it a moment. So and according to Rabbi Chitka, 15 meals, you need 16 meals according to Rabbi Chitka, because there are two additional meals on Shabbos. So, the Gemara articulates that according to the Tanakhama, you need 15. According to Rabbi Chitka, you need 16. So the Gemara now, Ben, this is now where the Gemara makes her suggestion. No. That Mishnah and Peah could easily be going like the Tanakhama. And basically, what the Ani now is supposed to do with that 14 meals is basically work it out. Allocate the meals so that he'll have on Shabbos three meals. Meaning on Friday, you're supposed to be eating two meals. So eat the morning meal on Friday, and then take that afternoon meal and reserve that meal for Shabbos. So that way you're eating now the second Friday meal on Friday night. So that'll be meal number one for Shabbos. And then come Shabbos day and you're having two more meals and you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Gimel Seudos. That's how the Mishnah and Peah can easily be going according to the Tanakhama. Leimer Rabbani Yivalo Rabbi Chitka. Good. So now we have the Mishnah and Peah going like the Chachamim. Perhaps the Mishnah and Peah is arguing with Rabbi Chitka. Because according to Rabbi Chitka, how can you negotiate eating four meals on Shabbos? I feel the time Rabbi Chitka, Darmin Lai, Ma'ad Dabai Samecha, Bamalai Shabbasa, Achle La'orte. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rabbi Chitka, he can also do a little advanced planning, which is, don't eat anything on Friday, so now we'll have two meals going into Shabbos, and now come Shabbos, so now he'll have those two meals, which he was supposed to be eating on Friday, and then Shabbos, he'll have another two meals, and that's how you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Seudos according to Rabbi Chitka. The Gemara says, that's really strange. We really want the Ani to be fasting all of Friday? Really? That's untenable. That's not appropriate. So Ella Amani Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, really, we could say like this: that Mishnah and Peah could really not be going against Rabbi Chitka, and in fact, we don't even have to say what we said earlier for the Tanakhama, meaning this person is obviously extraordinarily poor. All he has is a week's worth of food. That's all he's got. Now Rabbi Akiva makes a statement: Asei Shabbos Chachol v'Al Titzarech Lebrios, that if you are, Rachman Litzlan, if you're in a position, a financial position, where you can't afford extra for Shabbos, so don't. Meaning, make do with what you have. And if all you have going into Shabbos is two meals worth of food, so don't buy a third meal. Oh, I'll borrow some money and I'll get a third meal. Rabbi Kiva says, don't do that. Meaning, live within your means, even on Shabbos as well. Asei Shabbos Kachol. Make Shabbos like a weekday, if you don't have the means of buying more for Shabbos. So then, that Mishnah and Peah now, you don't have to say any pshat in the Mishnah and Peah. Meaning the Mishnah and Peah could just simply be, look, we're talking about a person who obviously his means is very limited, and so therefore, come Shabbos, he'll have two meals. Either the mitzvah shal shudas, yeah, for those who can afford it. This person can't afford it. He lives within his means, not above his means. Fine. We go back to another Mishnah in Peah. If, let's say, you have an ani passing through the city, so he's not a local ani, traveling ani. So how much should you give him in terms of from the soup kitchen? So give him a loaf of bread. And the Mishnah Peah talks about how much she should be giving based on a rate that was the common rate back then, but basically give him a loaf of bread. Lan. Now if he plans on sleeping over in the evening, so make sure that you provide him money so that he could stay over the night. Vim Shabbos. Now, if this passing ani through town happens to be passing through on Shabbos, so give him 3 meals worth. That's the Mishnah in Peah. Now, who does this Mishnah sound like? Pretty clear. It sounds like the Tanakhama. Not like Rabbi Chitka. Lamer Rabbani Yivla Rabbi Chitka, Lolam Rabbi Chitka, Kagon Dika Suda Bahadei. So the Gemara says, no, it could be, again, we're going to try to squeeze Rabbi Chitka into that Mishnah in Peah. It could be that he already has 1 meal, and we're giving him an additional 3 meals to the 1 meal that he already has. And what you're going to do now is that, in addition to the 1 meal that you already have, we're going to give you 3 more meals to supplement so that you get our 4 meals. We're squeezing Rabbi Chitka into that Mishnah in Peah. Now the Gemara says, now, he's not only staying here, but he's also leaving. And he's supposed to leave empty-handed? The Gemara says, no, when he goes, we're going to give him another meal. The Mishnah in Peah is just talking about how we take care of him for Shabbos. Yeah, after Shabbos, of course we're going to give him another meal. Levoy, as when he leaves, he'll have some food to take with him when he leaves. But at least for Shabbos, you give him 3 meals, and according to Rabbi Chitka, in addition to the meal that he already has. My Parnassus Lina. Now, the Mishnah Peah says that if he's staying overnight, you give him Parnassus Lina. What does that mean? Amar Papa Purya Beis Tadja. It means that you give him money so that he could rent out a bed and a pillow as well. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, so once again, where are we? Pretty much where we start off. Meaning, Machlok is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Chitka. Tanakhama says that there's a mitzvah on Shabbos to eat 3 meals. Rabbi Chitka says on Shabbos there's a mitzvah to eat 4 meals. The Mishnayos here in Shabbos and the Mishnayos in Peah sound much more like the Tanakhama. Rabbi Chitka, the Gemara tried to fit Rabbi Chitka into our Mishnah here in Shabbos. Didn't work out so well. So, okay, the Gemara's conclusion is our Mishnah's not going like Rabbi Chitka. The Mishnah in Peah, squeeze them in. Squeeze them into the Mishnah in Peah. Okay, but we're at a machlokas. I'm sure everyone would imagine, you know already, that between the two we go like the Tanakhama, not like Rabbi Chitka. Tanu Rabbanan, we are continuing in the Gemara. Karash Alcha Behen Arvis Madich Lechol Behen Shachris. Okay, washing dishes. Okay, now it comes up over here because we're just talking about how many meals you're supposed to have over Shabbos. So after your last meal, we're going to see this in just a moment, so you have no heter, you have no right to wash the dishes. I know some people, it's very uncomfortable for them to be sitting in the house with dirty dishes. It certainly is a consideration, meaning, but just the simple pshat of our Gemara is that once you no longer need the dishes, that's it. You don't have a heter to wash them. Why not? The Gemara doesn't really articulate it, but probably has to do with tircha yaseira. In other words, it's extra labor that's not necessary on Shabbos. Shabbos is a day of rest, so therefore you rest. Also, you could speak about the idea of hachana, you're preparing from Shabbos to the weekday, that you're not allowed to do as well. So in other words, once you're done with the dishes, you can't wash them anymore. So the Brisa speaks out that so Friday night, obviously you're allowed to wash your dishes, so you could use them again tomorrow morning, Shabbos morning. Shachris madich lechol behem b'tzarayim. Now it's interesting, by the way, did you catch that? How many meals are we describing over here?
Sounds like four,
right? In other words, it's funny, the Gemara does not make this point, but this braisa sounds like Rabbi Chitka, not like the Tanakhama. Okay, I'm making the point, but that doesn't mean anything. It's just me making the point. But it is interesting that the Gemara does not make an issue about this. It sounds like this price is going like Rabbi Chitka. But however, in the afternoon onward, you can't wash the dishes anymore. But when it comes to cups and pitchers and so they're used all the time, meaning drinking, we always drink. Okay, we drink even after the Shal Shudas, we drink. So since they're on standby at all times, so therefore you're allowed to wash the cups even after your last meal of Shabbos. Lefisha in kevel shtiyah. When it comes to shtiyah, there's no kviyas. We drink at all times. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Bazi. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Mishum bar kapar kol amikayim shal shudas b'Shabbos. Nitzal mishalosh peranios. In the Gemara now transitions wonderfully from the halacha to the hashkafa, agadata, the depth of the idea of eating three meals. If a person is careful to eat the three meals on Shabbos, so he will be saved from shgimel peranios, from three catastrophes: chevlo shel Mashiach, dina shel Gehenem, u'mechemes Gog u'Magog. So the three impending disasters: the birth pangs of Mashiach, the dina of Gehenem, and the apocalypse, the war of Gog and Magog. And the Gemara is going to cite psukim that speak to this idea, because remember, the whole source of eating a meal on Shabbos comes from the pasuk in Bishalach of Vayomer Moshe Achlu Hayom Ki Shabbos Hayom. So every time a meal is referenced, it comes from the word Hayom. And we're going to do Gzeirah Shavas, right? Drush Gzeirah Shavas, but Gzeirah Shavas not nevertheless. Ksiv ha'cha yom, ksiv ha'asim, hinei anochi shalach lachem, eis aliyahu anavi lefnei bo yom, should sound familiar. It's a haftorah, I want to say sukkahs. No. I got shook off. Shabbos HaGadol. Okay, it's the end of time. I got that one I got right, but no. Dina shal gehenem, ksiv ha'cha yom, ksiv ha'asim, yom evra hayom ahu. A day of great anger, that's a reference to the day of a person's entrance into Gehenna. And he'll be saved from it having that meal. And Muhammad's Gog Magog Ksiv Hacha Yom Ksiv Hasam by Yom Ba Gog. So, and again, we have another pasuk that describes the word the Muhammad's Gog Magog in conjunction with the word Yom. How about this? Is this Sukkos? Good. I just know the Haftar and Sukkos is Gog and Magog, so it was just a guess. It's interesting, right? I don't know if it coordinates, meaning that the Friday night meal, your Eliyahu Navi meal, and the Chevle HaMashiach meal, and the Shabbos morning meal, that's your Gehenna meal, right? I don't know if it coordinates that way. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosef Kol Ma'ana gets the Shabbos Nosan Lo Nachla B'li Mitzarim. Anyone who enjoys the Shabbos, eats on Shabbos, really, really, sits down and enjoys himself on Shabbos, so he will get a Nachla, a portion from God, without any borders. B'li Mitzarim. Shenem Ra'astis Anegal Hashem V'ikrafticha Al-Bamse Aretz. Okay, not bad for an Ashkenaz, who does not say this for Kiddush. But I spent a couple Shabbos amongst the Sfarim. Astis anegal Hashem v'yirkavticha b'amsei aretz v'echalisicha nachalas Yaakov avicha. The pasuk in Yeshayahu. All right, you say this in Kiddush lunch. So the pasuk in Yeshayahu describes about Ta'anug, and you're going to get a portion of Yaakov avicha. Lo ka'avram shekasav bo kum hezalech baretz la'arkao la'rechba. By Avraham, Avraham's portion was circumscribed. He was told, here, go here, go here, go here. And you see the borders? That's called Eretz Yisrael. That's what you're going to get. But in other words, it's great, don't get me wrong, but it's limited. It's border. And not veloki Yitzchak shekasav bo ki lechol zarecha etain es kol ha'aratzos ha'el. Once again, it's a reference to land, but very defined borders. Ela ki Yaakov, but rather we're going like Yaakov shekasav bo feratzi yama v'kedma tzafon v'negba. By Yaakov, his promise by Kosh Baruch Hu is you're going to go east and north and west and south, and you're just going to keep going, and there's no limit to the borders of Yaakov Avinu. And that's the kind of nachla that a person can expect when he properly enjoys and is me'anig in Shabbos. Rabbi Gamliel by Yitzchak Amar needs some shibud galios. He's going to be saved from the enslavement of being in the diaspora. I know we don't feel it, but it's there. Ksiv ha'chavir kavticha al-bam se'aretz u'ksiv ha'asam ha'ata al-bamo se'mo tidroch. You're going to be stepping over the high places, meaning that you will not have shibud galios. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Kalman, I guess the Shabbos no salam mishal slibo. You enjoy Shabbos properly, you will get what you request. Sheinam Rav Yisanegal Hashem Yitelecha mishal slibcha. Oneg. Ze'in, I'm sorry, oneg ze'in yodea mahu. Now what exactly does that mean, oneg? We keep saying oneg, oneg, oneg. What does that mean? Kishu omer v'kartel Shabbos oneg, havi omer ze'oneg Shabbos. It's not just any oneg, but specifically, oneg of Shabbos. B'ma me'ango, Okay, and now let's get to the secrets of Shabbos. How are you ma'anig on Shabbos? Rav Yehuda ben Rav Shmuel bar Shilas mishmei de Rav Amar b'tavshel shel treidin. So it's got to be cooked beets. V'dagim gedolim, big fish. V'roshei shuman and garlic. Rav Chiya bar Ashi amar Rav afilo davar muad ulechal v'Shabbos. Now the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Chiya bar Ashi in the name of Rav. It doesn't have to be that defined. It could even be a little bit, as long as it's l'kav Shabbos. So I raise the oneg. Umayhi. Gemara gives a very specific example of what does it mean a davar muat. I'm Rav Papa kasa the harsana. I'll say herring. It's not really herring, but in other words, it's not that far off. I mean, little fish, little fried fish. Okay. I'm Rav Chiya bar Abba. I'm Rav Yochanan klal mishar Shabbos kiel chaso afilo avad avad azar kedor edush mochlin lo. Gemara makes a statement. Now, kipshuta, the statement is very hard to understand. But it certainly speaks to the idea that being a Shomer Shabbos is extraordinarily important, and the benefits of being a Shomer Shabbos are, I would say, indescribable, but the statement over here, this memra, puts it in the following terms. If you're a Shomer Shabbos Kil Chaso, even if you're Oved Avodah Zarah, like the door of Enosh, the first generation who really were Oved Avodah Zarah, Mochlin lo, you will have a full mechila, a full forgiveness. Now, I don't know how to explain this. Kipshuto, right?
The thing is that the Shabbat is testimony to God's creation of the world.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Somebody else Oved Avodah Zarah and like.
It's difficult. I'm with you. I'm
in the past, if he worshipped.
Right.
That may be a level
right.
Right. But to do it together.
Yeah. I'm speaking off the cuff right now, so you could take it. You could just totally reject it. You know, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, famously, again famous because I know it. But the Rambam writes that in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, that what's this business of us being of Oved Avodah Zarah? He says originally the idea was that we needed intermediaries, meaning the idea of us speaking directly to Hashem that was overwhelming. So we needed intermediaries, so people would basically take the idols and use them as intermediaries. And then eventually, what happened historically is that we forgot that they were intermediaries, and then we used them as the actual deities themselves. That's the Rambam's history of Avodah Zarah, which he describes in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. It could be, and again, I'm speaking off the cuff, I'm speaking really extemporaneously, but it could be that the Gemara over here speaks about Kedor Enosh, because Kedor Enosh means that it's not like they forgot about God, meaning they knew about God, but they also treated the Avodah Zarah as the median towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's maybe why this memra specifically speaks about the Oved Avodah Zarah, Kidur Enosh. Okay, but that's, I'm just speaking off the cuff. Shenemra, the pasuk says, Eshrei Enosh Yasezos, Mechal Lo. Al Tikri Mechal Lo, Ela Machul Lo. So being a proper Shomer Shabbos, you'll have forgiveness over your Avodah Zarah. Had we properly observed our first Shabbos, so we would have total domination, total dominion, and we would not have been subjugated by the nations of the world. Because what did we do? Once again, last week's Parsha. What did we do? Now, speaking about all the Jewish people, some of the Jewish people, maybe the Erev Rav, whoever it was, but on Shabbos, some people went out to see if the moon came out on Shabbos. Even though Moshe instructed, it's not what's going to happen. It's going to come down on Friday, double portion on Friday. Nothing's coming out on Shabbos. But because people went out, it was a lack of Shmiras Shabbos. In what way was it actual Chil Shabbos? Hard to say. But it was a lack of Shmiras Shabbos, and therefore we did not benefit from total domination and becoming impervious to the outside forces. In fact, go back to last week's Parsha again and look at the sequence. Meaning, what it happens after our failure to sit in our homes on Shabbos, but rather to go out on Shabbos, the next Parsha that comes up, Uksiv Basrei Vayavol Malek. That was the last aliyah of last week's Parsha. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishmar Bishem Mayochai Malay Mishmar Yisrael Shtei Shabbos Kiel Chasamiyad Nigalin. Right, everyone knows this one. Right, two consecutive Shabbosim. If the Jewish people were to observe two consecutive Shabbosim, we would be immediately redeemed. Shenemar Kol Mar Hashem Lasari Sim Asher Yisham Shabbos Asai. Okay, Stu, I know this one. Okay. The Tanis Esther. Every Tanis. So the Akash Baruch Hu says to the Sarisim, who are Shomer Shabbos, not Shabbos, Shabbos or Sai. We all know it. Rav Yossi says, I hope that my portion in Olam Haba is together with those people who are careful to eat Shalosh Sudos. By the way, just as a personal note, you don't know how bad I'm feeling right now over the fact that our shiur on Shabbos is during Shalosh Sudos. Okay, right now I am suffering from terrible guilt. I try to have Shalosh Sudos before Mincha. But, okay, just know, everyone should know right now how bad I'm feeling. I'm Rav Yossi, Eichel Ki Megomer Hala. So, my portion should be those who are Gomer Hala, who finish Hala B'chol Yom every day. Now, Gomer Hala B'chol Yom, finish Hala every day. The word Hala, we understand it usually in the context of Hala of Yontav, Chanukah, half Hala Rosh Chodesh. As we're going to see in just a moment, that's not what the Gemara means. Any of the Gemara says, in fact, don't do that. Someone who says halal every day is a mecharif or megadif. He's a blasphemer. Now, why should that be? So, because when do we say halal? The classic halal, meaning, you know, the one we say on Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuot, you know, the standard halal. We say that over basically an open miracle. Okay? Chanukah is a good example. Right? A nes nigla. And if we were to say it every day, basically what then becomes, and by the way, this is not my word, this is, and the Meshech Chachma says this. Rabbi Weil, when he came to our community a couple months ago, he said the same word as well. Okay? It's the Meshech Chachma. If you were to say halal every day, basically, what you do is you look at nature and you say, no, that's not where Hashem is. Hashem's not nature. He's in the extraordinary moments. And basically, you're separating natural law, natural order from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't say halal every day. If you do, you're mechar from a gandev. Ki ka'amrinan b'psukei d'zimra. When we say that you should be finishing halal every day, it means psukei d'zimra. Meaning that before we daven every morning, we prepare ourselves for davening, we say Prakim of Tehillim, and we call it Psukah de Zimra. Why do we call it Psukah de Zimra? Because the Gemara right over here describes as Psukah de Zimra. Now it's interesting, we're Gomer Sahala. You know what our minhag is? Our minhag is that we kind of cheat.
Correct.
Right, we don't say all of Tehillim, but rather we start, you know, Tehillim is 150 Prakim, so we start at 145, right, that's what is commonly known as Ashrei, although it's not really Ashrei. Ashrei is just a couple of introductory psukim. But in other words, it starts with Tehillah LeDavid, that's 145, and then we say the last six prakim of Tehillim. And that's how we're Gomer as Sahala, we finish Hala. There's an interesting Rashi, I'll just note it, I'll read it. Rashi notes that what really makes up the essential part of Psukah de Zimra our name is Morim Shal Hilulim, Halu Es Hashem in Hashamayim, Halu Kel B'Kadsho. Okay, in other words, after Ashrei, it's numbers 3 and 5. Okay, or if you will, 148 and 150. Okay, Parakim 140 and 150. Okay, why Rashi speaks to those two, meaning we end up saying the last six Parakim of Tehillim. So why Rashi points to those two, I don't know. I'm certainly curious, but it's interesting that Rashi does that. I'm Rav Yossi. We're back to the Gemara. Let's see if we could do a little bit more today. Yeah, let's do just a little bit more. I'm Rav Yossi. Eichel ki mimisvalim im dimdume chama. Best time of davening is dimdume chama, when the sun is red. Now that speaks to both morning and afternoon. Right? So in other words, you should be davening when the sun is rising, otherwise known as Nates, otherwise known as Vasikin. And mincha, as the sun is setting. Now, I'd say before the sun is setting, okay? But in other words, not the earlier mincha, not during mincha gedola, but late afternoon. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mitzvah Lispam, Dindu Mechama, I'm Rabbi Zera Maikra, Yeruchem HaShemesh. Your Yira, your fear should come, Im HaShemesh as the sun is rising. V'lefnei Yerach Dor Dorim. V'am Rabbi Yossi Echalkim Mimeseh B'chol Me'ayim. Now I hope I receive a portion of the world to come with those people who died from intestinal illnesses. Dharma Ma Ruban Shot Tzadikim Mimeseh B'chol Me'ayim, the majority of Tzadikim died from intestinal illnesses. Now, the way Rashi describes it, what's so exciting about dying from intestinal illnesses, it doesn't sound that exciting. So Rashi describes, because together with intestinal illnesses, that's a lot of yisurin. It's a lot of suffering. And Rashi describes that the yisurim are mismarkin avonoseihem. Meaning with all that suffering, any avonos that you have are going to be expunged. And so that's how Rashi describes what is the beauty, the benefit of dying in such a manner. Interesting Tosfos, I'll point it out. The top Tosfos on the Amush, Perish Bekushas, Lamarik of Anasayim. Veri Omer, Kiyesh Bemedrash. Tosfos quotes a Medrash. So, Lamarik Achila Minha Me'ayim. If you're dying with intestinal illnesses, so that means basically that you are, the Medrash is saying this, literally clean, meaning not just outside, but intestinally as well. Lios nikim v'tahorim kemalache hashareis, and you were like a malach at that point in time. You have no waste matter inside of you. It's a very interesting medrash. Okay, I described the practices of some of the chaver kedisha, but now is not a good time to describe it. But it speaks to that medrash. Okay, that bell signifies the end. Let me do one more of these. So okay, just so that we finish this. This thread. I'm Rav Yossi. Hey, chalkim mimeseh b'derech mitzvah. I want my portion of the world to come to be with those who are b'derech mitzvah on the way to doing the mitzvah. I'm Rav Yossi. Hey, chalkim mimachtisei Shabbos b'tveri or mimotzei Shabbos b'tzipori. I want my portion of the world to be with those who accept Shabbos in Tveria. Tveria is low-lying land. Because it's low-lying land, the sun sets for them early, meaning over the mountaintops. That's not sunset. In other words, that's before sunset, they take Shabbos in early. And Tzipori is the mountaintop, just a couple mountains over from Tveria. So there, they wait well after Shabbos is over in order to end Shabbos. And the basic idea is, bring Shabbos in early, end Shabbos late. V'am Rav Yossi, Yechokim, Moshe, Beis HaMedrash, V'lo Mema, Mide, Beis HaMedrash. I want to be with those people who call Seder, in other words, basically start the Seder in the Beis HaMedrash, not for those people who end the Seder in the Beis Medrash. It's so much easier to be a collector of tzedakah than to be an allocator of tzedakah. When you're collecting tzedakah, you're doing no wrong. When you're allocating tzedakah, who's entitled, who deserves it, that's not easy stuff. One more. Somebody is under suspicion, and obviously it's terrible suffering and embarrassment to be under suspicion, and it's unfounded. And that suffering is, Rabbi Yossi says, I want to be together with that person. I'm Rav Papa Lididi Chashtem V'lo Havavi, and Rav Papa ambiguously references that he experienced that, meaning he was accused of something, it wasn't true, and the pain and suffering that he had to endure, it was terrible. And Rav Papa is attesting to the idea that, yeah, that's not pleasant at all. And Rav Yossi says, because he went through so much suffering, I'd like his portion to share his portion in Olam Haba. Okay, we have a little bit more to do. We're going to stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow right from this point. Okay. The mitzvah of Shal Shudas is today's daf.